around 600 years before Jesus walked the earth, there was a prophet named Habakkuk, and he was struggling at the time as he looked at the world around him. It was a world full of violence and suffering and social injustice, and he went to God wondering why God didn't do something about these things that were obviously contrary to the character of God. And the world he describes there, starting in chapter 1, sounds a lot like ours today. So we've been walking through this three-week journey of looking at these ancient writings to see how God may want to use them to build our faith here in 2019. Now, we started off by exploring how he questioned God and how it's okay for us to go to God with our doubts and with our questions too and express those to God. And last week, we talked about how we can wait patiently and confidently and expectantly, knowing that God will create good in all situations. And this week, we want to talk about finding that unwavering faith as we go through the ups and downs, the valleys, as Pastor Eric said, or as we struggle with the state of the world around us. I read a story along those lines this week that I thought was pretty inspiring. It was about a missionary named Alan Gardiner who lived in the 1800s. Alan was kind of like the Apostle Paul of those days, and because he went and he took this team, and if you check it out online, they went to all kinds of different places throughout the known world trying to spread the gospel. Now, they faced all kinds of obstacles. They tried, they were of Spanish descent. They tried to translate the Bible into different languages to help the people they were ministering to. They faced financial obstacles. They were constantly going to different countries trying to raise funds to reach these people. And they even faced people who were hostile to the message that they had to share with them. Now, their final destination was Tierra del Fuego in South America. And the area that they faced the most resistance there, it was from the hostile locals. There they hoped to reach the Patagonian tribes. Now, they traveled. One of the times before their last trip there, they went there with 7 months of rations. But as they were trying to minister to the people kept attacking them and robbed them until they had nothing left. And so they had to return home. But despite what happened, they praised God anyhow. I want to share with you a few words from Gardner's journal. They happen to find this there later on. And here in his journal about this particular trip, he said, "Surely the Lord has been our help and our shield. Said his fatherly care over us has been conspicuous. May his goodness be had in continual remembrance." So here they're getting robbed and attacked and beaten, and he comes forward and he says, "Well, may God be praised. He has taken care of us." They return one more time, and when they return, their ship this time crashed on shore, so they had no way to get home. And at that point, they, one by one, I think there were 7 or 8 of them maybe, they began dying of starvation and different diseases. And in I want to share with you one of the last entries in his journal. In there it said, "In noting down our wants and difficulties, I would not conclude without expressing many thanks to God, to all the mercies and grace, and for the grace he has bestowed on each of my suffering companions." He says, "who with the utmost cheerfulness endure all without a murmur, patiently awaiting the Lord's time to deliver them, and ready should it be his will to languish and die here, knowing that whatever he shall appoint shall be well." Now let those words sink in for just a minute. Endure all without a murmur, knowing that whatever he appoints shall be well. He continues as he says, "My prayer is that the Lord may be glorified in me, whatever it may be, whether by life or death, and that he will, should we fail, send forth other laborers into his harvest, that his name may be magnified, his kingdom enlarged, and in the salvation of the multitudes from among the inhabitants of this pagan land." What powerful words from a man who is at that very moment dying of hunger. Despite what appears to be an imminent death, Gardner praises God for giving him joy in difficult circumstances, and he declares that even in this situation that is most likely going to lead to death, that God is still good. And he prays that if they should all die, that God would send others, and that the end result would be the salvation of those they sought to put the full love of God on display to. Now there are so many other just powerful prayers from this man of God, and you can find a lot of those online if you Google his name, L-L-E-N, Gardiner. I feel like Gardiner and his team do an incredible job of showing us that we praise God because we love him, not so we can get anything from him. We praise God because we love him, not so that we can get anything from him. Now it's easy to praise God when our plans are succeeding, when the money's there, when our health is good, when all is well with our soul. Yet people like Gardner find a way to praise God, to tap into his love, oftentimes despite the circumstances in life. Now, what if we could all do that? What if we could find faith and joy in all circumstances? Well, the good news is that we can. Today we'll look and see how Habakkuk moved from questioning God to then, last week we talked about how he was waiting on God to respond, to then proclaiming his faith in the person and the promises of God. And as we do that, we believe that God will give us some tips through his word that will help us along that journey. We're going to dive into chapter 3 today of the book of Habakkuk. That's in the Old Testament. It's just a tiny little 2 or 3 page book. And you can find it if you want to look in the Bibles in the pews or under the seats. Will be on page 939. Or if you have a good app, Bible app, that's great too. Or if you want to follow along, we'll have a few of the verses on the screen. Starting there in verse 1 of chapter 3, he starts off and it says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Now, that word, it's interesting. It's one of the few times in the Bible that they left the original Hebrew word there rather than translating it for us to something in English. And my understanding as I studied this is that the reason that they couldn't translate it to English was because they had no good substitute for this word. And here Habakkuk is referring back to Psalm chapter 7. And in Psalm 7, it starts off and it says the Shigion of David. Now in Psalm 7, what follows that is David is singing this song and he's asking God to deal with the evil around him. He's asking him to deal with the injustice and to protect and to vindicate his people. And in similar fashion, then Habakkuk sings this passionate song as well to God, asking him for very similar things in difficult times in his own life. So this word basically refers to some sort of passionate song springing forth out of us. And as Habakkuk does that, I think he shows us that as we're searching to try and find faith in the valleys and difficult times, that we can find faith through song. That we can find faith through singing. As followers of Jesus, we're told to store God's word in our hearts. We're told that will help us as we pursue holiness, as we seek to grow in likeness of God and move closer to him. And just as his word, the Bible inspires us, so can songs that are based off of his word. God designed music to minister to us and to move us in ways that sometimes words alone cannot accomplish. David knew this. And Habakkuk knew it as well. And I think God is showing us here that if we sing God's praises, no matter what our circumstances, he will use those words to heal our hearts and to propel us forward. If we sing his praises, no matter what our circumstances, God can use those words to heal our hearts and to propel us forward. I know this has been true in my life, and so many of you have probably experienced it. I have so many stories of God using this. I want to share just one of them with you here this morning. When we moved here to Michigan in 2012, we did so under an agreement to purchase the home that we are in now under a short sale agreement. And this, we were told, it'll probably wrap up within 30 to 60 days. Well, after 13 months, the bank had refused to negotiate time and time again. And we got a notice, like, right in the middle of the week that, hey, by the way, your home is going up for auction next Monday. So, I mean, to say we're a bit stressed was an understatement. And we had done everything in our power, you know, for those 13 months to make this thing happen. But it just wasn't coming together. And that Thursday morning before the auction, I remember just getting out of bed and asking God for his help as we faced the potential beginning of the end of what we had hoped would be our home. And as I stood there, it was kind of crazy. It was like I had this out-of-body experience. All of a sudden, I was watching and listening to myself as I sang the song of praise. And I want to play just a little clip from it for you here this morning. Strengthen my heart and to help me in that moment wave the white flag and to give him control, knowing that even if we found ourselves without a home that we could call our home, that he would still provide us with a warm bed and that his plans would be even better than what we had hoped for or anticipated on our own. It was quite the journey. I believe it was somewhere around day 560 or something in the process, and we were 3 days away. We got a notice that in like 3 days, the police were going to take all our stuff and put it on the side of the road if we didn't remove stuff ourselves. And so, but within that 3 day time frame, at the very last minute, God came through in miraculous fashion and he provided a way to be able to close the deal for the bank to concede and for us to move forward. But even if he had provided in the way that we wanted, he would have still been good and trustworthy and loving. As we said earlier, we praise God because we love him, not so we can get anything from him. Habakkuk knew this. David knew this. Psalm 7 concludes with these words. David there says, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High." Again, the praise is because God is good, because he is righteous, because he is holy. Not because of anything he's done for us. You know, this song that David's singing and the song of our hearts should be a song to the one who is always worthy of our praise. With a heart inside of us that is full of praise. You see, if we give ourselves to God through worship, it can unlock our potential to find faith in the midst of adversity. If we give ourselves to God through worship, it can lock our potential to find faith in the midst of adversity. I want to challenge each of us this week just to take some time and to seek God through some songs of praise that maybe God wants to use to speak into our circumstances. Now, besides singing songs of praise, Habakkuk shows us a couple other ways that we can find faith in the midst of trying times. Starting in verse 2, he says, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day, in our time. Make them known. In your wrath, remember mercy." he goes on to talk about how God brought plagues on Israel's enemies to lead them out of Egypt. And how time and time again, God's power and his might and his justice have been on display in miraculous fashion for the world to see. He sings songs about what God has done as well as what God is capable of doing. And in that, Habakkuk shows us that we can find faith by standing on truth. By standing on truth. You see, if we look back through God's word, if we examine our lives, we should be able, without a doubt, to point to examples of God's faithfulness that remind us that we can count on him no matter what we face. You see, God's past faithfulness is a reminder to us that our future is safe in his hands. God's past faithfulness is a reminder to us that our futures are safe in his hands. A great exercise this week, if we want to process this, would be to just even make a list of the many times that God has guided us in a positive way or answered our prayers. We could take that list and place it somewhere that we'll see it on our mirror and our Bible, somewhere that we'll come across it on a regular basis as a reminder that God is taking care of us and that he intends to continue to do so. Habakkuk has shown us that we can build our faith through truth and through song, and he shows us one more way in chapter 3. There he says that, I heard and my heart pounded and my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. What emotion do you think Habakkuk was feeling in those moments? I think I heard somebody say it. I think it's fear. His heart was pounding. His lips were quivering. His knees were knocking at the thought of the Babylonians attacking his people. Yet he waits patiently, knowing that God has delivered them in the past and that God can do so yet again by his power and his might. All the while knowing that God... like in Gardner's situation, that if there is an attack, that if it ends in suffering, that if it ends even in death, God is still good. And here we see that overcoming our fears is a third key to finding faith. Overcoming our fears. You see, fear and faith are fundamentally incompatible. Fear and faith are fundamentally incompatible. Fear tells us that we cannot trust in the goodness or the love or the plans of our Father in heaven, and that maybe he doesn't have our best intentions at heart. However, fear is a liar, and it comes from the father of lies, the devil. But the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. And as God's love is the only one that's perfect and only one that will never fail us, he is fully capable of removing our fears and filling us with confidence over what is to come in the days ahead. And as Habakkuk lists some of his fears, they are driven out as he raises his song to God in heaven. And he proclaims, he sings these words, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to tread on the heights. Habakkuk moves from fear to faith as he sings about things like finding joy and strength through this God who will never fail him. What might God want to speak in our lives this week if we approached him with songs of praise? What might God want to speak into our lives this week if we approached him with songs of praise? Well, as we fast forward over 2,500 years from the time of Habakkuk, we find God's word addressing in Hebrews the matter of faith. And here he says this. He says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. He says, this is what the ancients were commended for. we look back, people like Gardner had faith in God, even when it appeared he may die of starvation after watching all of his fellow missionaries die before him. And Habakkuk had faith that God would bring good even if their nations were attacked by an evil empire. And I'm guessing that there are things here today that each of us are facing, things that we may need faith to bring us the confidence in because the future appears murky. We don't understand. I witnessed a very inspiring example of this process over the last several years, of looking into the unfairness and maybe uncertainty of the world and asking why, yet choosing faith over fear. And that example came from a couple of our close family friends named Mike and Deb. Now, growing up, I wasn't very close with my extended family. We didn't really see my aunts and uncles ever, and except for maybe Christmas. And so, but Uncle Mike and Aunt Deb were a part of a handful of families who were just always there for us. We were really close. We did family vacations every year. They were just amazing. And in high school, it was crazy. I was devastated when Mom and Dad told me for the first time. I was like, hey, you know, how come all these people who don't have the same last names, like, how come they don't have the same last names as us if they're related? And so, you know, come to find out they weren't actually related to us. But we had just called them Uncle and Aunt for so many years. And while I was devastated, I learned that really anybody who loves us and invests in us can be considered family. Now, three to four years ago, Mike was diagnosed with a devastating lung disease that there was no cure for, one that they told him would eventually take his life. Now, here's a picture of Mike and Deb. And over the last year or two, Mike has been confined to basically a chair and a scooter when he's able to travel. And he's been on heavy oxygen tanks for some time now as well. All the while, he's been working to hit several goals in order to hopefully get a lung transplant. Now, they have all these milestones that you have to reach before they'll even consider you for a transplant. Now, how many of you are grandparents or hope to be grandparents someday? Awesome. Eric's not quite ready. I hear it's very satisfying to get to enjoy a kid that's related to you, to maybe spoil them and sugar them up and then send them home. Been told it's a whole different but yet still incredible level of joy and love. Well, in the last couple of years here, they experienced that as they got their first and only two grandkids so far. And I kept thinking, man, in those circumstances, you know, you just get grandkids, things are rolling into this new stage, it would be really easy to ask questions like why, or why now. And I'm sure that those questions crossed their mind, but I didn't hear about it, and I'm sure my parents heard about it either, who were very close friends of theirs. And a month or so ago, Mike and Deb stopped by the house and wanted to just take some time and pray together. And as we sat there, his lungs were in such bad shape. They got a new oxygen tank as we started talking, and then 15 or 20 minutes into the conversation, he had already burned through another tank. Yet, I mean, that wasn't his focus. His focus wasn't on the why. It wasn't on his circumstances. We sat there. We talked about faith, asked him how he was doing spiritually, and I was blown away as he talked about not how unfair it was or what he would potentially miss out on. He talked about how grateful he was to God for the life that he's been able to live. And that if God chose to take him home, he was ready. As he waited on God, his faith was overcoming his fear. Within a week or so of that conversation, they found themselves at U of M Hospital, and he had under 30% of lung functionality, and they were in a waiting game to see if insurance would approve the new lungs. And they said often that takes up to 2 weeks. Well, in about 3 weeks, they still hadn't heard back from insurance, but they were still waiting and waiting patiently on God. And last Friday, though, the 15th, Mike got his new lungs. And here's a picture of him. like a picture of it. Here's Mike healing up. And like many Ohioans, he's a Buckeye fan. And so, his wife got an eye roll, taking a picture of him holding that strange pillow there. But it's been amazing to watch what God has done in this journey. And you can see there, probably compared to the picture before, how much younger he's looking, even in a matter of a few days, as his body is functioning as it should. He's breathing easier. I think yesterday they upped his step count on walks from 30 to 300 feet. He's just progressing by leaps and bounds, and they're anticipating him being home for Thanksgiving. And you know, Deb was giving him a hard time last time I saw them in the hospital, just talking about, well, you get these new lungs, you're going to have to run a 5K with me, you know, make good use of them. And he said, I'm just excited to chase the grandkids again. Yeah, there's just this overwhelming thankfulness to God. And God has used this ordeal to build their faith. And he's used it to build the faith of hundreds of people around them who have watched them continue to look for God and declare that he is good throughout this journey. And God is once again showing his miraculous power in this situation. And as we approach life, especially when the world and the circumstances around us cause us to question why, God's desire is that we would throw aside our fear and cling to faith. The kind of life-altering faith that can even stare death in the face and declare that God is still good and he's still loving and he will take care of us. The kind of faith that a guy in Habakkuk found 2,500 years ago as the Babylonians threatened his family and friends. And how Gardner found as he faced starvation, and how Mike found as his lungs failed him. Is the kind of faith that is available to you and to me if we lean into God's presence and allow him to lead us and guide us every step of the way. And as we approach this promise of Advent, of the coming of the King, let's do so with the understanding that unwavering faith is our birthright as children of the King. Let's pray. Well, God, we thank you for this journey through this ancient text of Habakkuk. We thank you for preserving it for us for thousands of years to this very day. Lord, we see that for so long, people have been struggling as they look at the world around them and see the violence and the injustice and people taking advantage of and hurting other people and wondering why, yet in the end still declaring that God is good. Lord, there are things that we don't understand, things that we don't understand in our world, things that we don't understand in our lives that we're coming up against right now, this very day. And God, I thank you that your shoulders are broad enough to take all of our questions. And God, as we wait on you for answers, as we continue to look to you, would you help us to just take solace in the promises that we find in your word? And to even look at our past and remember, God, that you are good, that you are loving, that we don't serve you to get things from you. But because of that love that you displayed to us on the cross and that we now return. So God, would you just in these coming days, would you increase our faith by the power of your Spirit? Help us to know that with your power, we can overcome anything the world or the enemy throws at us, and that we can do that all for your glory, that more people may know the one who died on the cross for our sins. We ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus.